Well, Bob Ray told me. Did I get this on, Miriam? One more touch? Okay. Am I on now? There we go. Okay, Bob Ray told me that I should sing you the song, "If you don't know me by now, you will never, ever, ever know me." That's the way it kind of feels this morning as we gather here in this place. If you'll open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I want to go to a familiar passage. In fact, I preached this message almost exactly 13 years ago here at Emmanuel, and I preached it once here a couple of years ago at Empower, but it's a different message at many points, even though it will sound very familiar to you, but it's an appropriate message for today. I thought it was interesting from the beginning that going into the Sunday school classes this morning, that the lessons are kind of, they're in sync, which is fun. And even the songs that Bruce picked out for us today focus in on the center point of the message I want to bring today. Today is Pentecost. And if you'll remember, Pentecost is the celebration that the Jews had that came 50 days after Passover, which for us puts it at 50 days past Easter. And it was the great celebration in the church. And this weekend, as I was thinking about the significance of that and trying to do the dual kind of work that we're doing this morning, where I'm trying to speak a message to you that has something to do with where we are as a church, but also at the same time remain true to some of the big happenings that go on in the Christian church as well, it drew me into Pentecost, into the very first verse of chapter 2. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place." All together in one place. In fact, as we move our way through the end of Acts chapter 2, which is a series of messages that I actually preached here about 3.5-4 years ago before Martin came, you'll remember we got to the end of the chapter, and three times in verses 42 through 47, we see the church was together, together, together. The significance of words that we often just move right past and never really think about the impact that those words have on us. And one of those key significant words throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the church, is the word together. So out of this text in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're going to think about what it means to be together. Not just as a single church, but what might that look like if we begin to see ourselves as not just a church, an Anglo church primarily in this place, but to see the multiple facets of who we are as Emmanuel. What we often forget and don't recognize here in this place is there are more people that will meet in another hour and a half than are meeting this morning here in this place. And then add to that again in another 30 minutes or whatever, and these times on here are not actually right. Their websites were a little off from their actual times. But literally, we have four congregations meeting in this building under the banner of Emmanuel. Four different congregations, yet somehow related to each other as a part of the family, a part of the church that God has brought together here in this place. What if we begin to see ourselves not as just individuals and individual groups of people, but begin to see ourselves not even just as a church that meets at 10:30 on Sunday morning, but a church that meets across many generational and ethnic boundaries, to see ourselves in the multiple dimensions of what God has defined for us here at Emmanuel? I think we would look a lot more like the kingdom of God. And I think that was God's plan all along for us. So in your Bibles, read with me out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 as we read these significant words. And you'll recognize these. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. If either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one person keep warm alone? And if someone overpowers one person, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." When we begin to look at this text, there's so many neat facets here in this passage. And for years I looked at it and saw basically three, and sometimes a fourth. I even see five now today that I want us to look at as a congregation. When we work together, there will be these things: synergy, simpatico, which this is a Clint Calvert word. How many of you have ever heard the word simpatico? A lot more than I thought. That's a word I was not all that familiar with, and Clint pulled it right out of the air, sitting in the office chatting over coffee. Synergy, simpatico, support, symbiosis, and then finally strength that comes when you and I work together. All along, this has been God's plan and purposes for the church. In fact, when I started to think about what to go to this morning, I started off in 1 Corinthians 12. I started off again in Romans chapter 12. The concept of spiritual gifts, of all of us being here for a purpose, all of us having something to contribute, all of us being a part of something together. And I kept coming back to Ecclesiastes because it really says everything that I wanted to say. Let's look and break apart these pieces one at a time. The first word is synergy. And it comes out of Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Now, most of you know that Sarah, my wife, Sarah over here, hiding in the corner, is a math teacher. She hates this illustration, but I think it's perfect for this word. When we think of synergy, most of us would say that 1 plus 1 equals what? 2. But synergy says no. Instead, it equals 3. That when we add together the individual parts, the strength, the synergy that comes about in the midst of that ends up being more impactful than the two things separated. If that didn't do it for you, if you're a word person, read the definition itself. The interaction of two or more agents that forces so that their combined effect is greater than the sum of their individual effects. In other words, 1 plus 1 equals 3. We're more together than we are separate. Many years ago, I read this illustration that I've used many, many times, and some of you have heard me do it on multiple occasions, because it's such an impactful illustration of what synergy is. In 1885, they didn't have the National Football League. They didn't have a Super Bowl. They didn't have the NBA championship game or any of the things that we have today. Instead, they had things called mule pulls. Any of you seen a mule pull? Have any of you seen a horse pull? Yeah, come on, a lot more of you than that. If you go to the fairground here in August, they do this stuff, even today. They would hook up a team of mules, and they would see how much weight they could pull. And in 1885, everybody was waiting with bated breath when the two mules of the winning team pulled 9,000 pounds on a sled. Some wise guy in the group got the idea, I wonder what in the world would happen if we took the first set, the winning team, and hooked them up with the second place team. What would they do? They expected it would go something like this, 9,000 pounds plus a little less than 9,000 pounds. So they expected that it would be about 18,000 pounds that they would be able to pull. But instead, that's not what happened. When they hooked them up, instead they pulled 30,000 pounds. Now do the math. That meant by working together, they pulled 12,000 pounds more than could have been expected by pulling separately. Again, living with a math teacher, and with my daughter also preparing to be a math teacher at that time, now teaching math again, I did the calculation and I thought, that's a 66% increase because they worked together. They were able to accomplish 66% more work than if they'd done it alone. So then I sat in the chair and I thought, I wonder if you worked that backwards, what would an individual mule be able to pull? If you put the 66% backwards off the two teams, instead of 4,500 pounds that each one of them pulled separately to get the 9,000, each individual mule could have only pulled by themselves 2,710 pounds. And interestingly enough, in my mind at that moment, I had one of those instantaneous flashes of light, and I said, no wonder the King James Version of the Bible uses another word for mule. Some of you are old enough to know what that means. In other words, all across the kingdom of God, there are many of us that are out there pulling for all we can do, 2,710 pounds, and as exhausted as I am after weeding Sarah's garden yesterday. We're giving it all, but we're only getting 2,710 pounds, where if we just got involved with some other people, at the minimum, we would be accomplishing 4,500 pounds worth of work. You understand what I'm saying? By working together, we can maximize the impact of who we are as the people of God that meet at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And when I say together, I don't mean just us in this room, but I mean across the congregational lines with the other churches that are part of who we are. Together, God could use us to have amazing impact here in that place. We can do more together than we can alone. Now, the second aspect of this passage is verse 10. For if either falls, his companion can lift him up. This is Clint's great word here, simpatico. Don't you like that? Can you say that out loud? Simpatico. Doesn't that just kind of roll off? You might even actually be able to remember that word after this point. What is the essence of what is being revealed to us here in this passage? If either falls, his companion, when you and I come together, there is something special that begins to take place as the people of God, as God breaks down the barriers between us. As I've said for years, we are all individual porcupines left to our own. People get too close, we prick them, even if we don't want to. We all have our foibles, our individual ways of looking at things. We have our likes and dislikes. We say things, we do things. Literally, it's hard to get close to each other. But as we find our work together and we find ourselves on the team, on the Church of Jesus Christ, we begin to see something special happen here in this place. We ought to be developing a sense not only of being like-minded in the mission of God and the purposes of God in our midst, but we might even find that we like each other, even though we're very different. And along the journey, become friends. No church can hold itself together very long until we see that begin to happen. Friendships, new friendships, growing friendships, adding people into friendships. As we continue to move forward together with this sense of simpatico, companionship, as we walk with Jesus, we should be finding friends along the journey. And it has to take place in this place. We have to find ways to help that happen. All of us are busy. All of us have 1,000 things going on in our lives. But we've got to find ways to get together for fellowship and for learning and for discipleship. We've got to find little ways that we can fit within as a congregation to see our lives come together, and the kind of friendships that will hold us together along the journey will begin to take place, will be built, and literally serve the kingdom and serve each of us together for a lifetime. That's simpatico. Number three, strength. When we work together, strength comes. If either falls, his companion can lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. In the journey of service, that literally we need people along the side of us that will help us during times of trouble. The old song, I don't remember whether it was a Beatles song or what it was, we get by with a little help from our friends. It's true in the Christian journey. It's true in a marriage. I've always said that if my life is out of control and Sarah's life is stable and strong, then we have enough support there to be able to press forward. If two of us are going nuts at the same time, we better get some outside support from someplace or else we're ready to crash. God, just by the nature of designing marriage and designing the church, He places us on the journey among other people who can support us when life gets tough. When one person is hurting, somebody else can minister. They've been down a path that's similar to that. Somebody can come alongside of them and encourage them from the Word of God and say, you know, I have a little bit of an understanding about what you're going through. I experienced that and you'll get through it. We all need that from time to time. And this ought to be the place where we find that together, that kind of ongoing support for the journey, for when the difficult times come. We need to be lifted up. There are two sides of this. And literally, in fact, the words play out in the text, and we'll look at it here in a minute. There's a physical side of support, and there's an emotional side of support. Like, for instance, Jeff came into the room, and he needed a little bit of physical help to be able to get into the room. Sometimes the kind of help that we need the most is more of an emotional support. just somebody to come alongside of us that knows us and cares about us and is willing to stand with us even in the midst of the struggle. Because life is a struggle. And it does have its hard times and its difficult times. But when a brother or a sister can come alongside of you and support you, it gives you strength to make the next day and the next leg of the journey. The fourth word is symbiosis. And we see that grow out of this text. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one person keep warm? And some of your translations will say, alone. In other words, there comes something that is mutually beneficial to us. The classic illustration of this that has been used for many years is the crocodile and the Egyptian plover, the little bird. The crocodile apparently has trouble with his teeth. And I'm not painting something that's not true here. This is a strange example of symbiosis at work in nature. The crocodile, when it eats his food, he doesn't have dental floss or a toothbrush, and so the food will rot in around the bottom of his teeth. And as you can imagine, great pain comes with that. God created a bird, and this is just bizarre, that when the crocodile wants his teeth cleaned, he just opens his mouth, and that's the invitation to the plover to know that he can come and get his next meal by cleaning the crocodile's teeth. They both get a benefit out of that. You get it? That's symbiosis. That's mutually beneficial. Both of them get a benefit out of it. Like these polar bears who are keeping themselves warm, very similar to the text here, they both get a benefit out of this. Now, I know that in our culture this sounds bizarre, but in the ancient Middle East, this text rang true. If you agreed to travel with somebody, that meant at night in the desert when it got very cold, you agreed to share your body heat with them. One can't keep warm alone in the cold night air of the desert, but two sharing their body heat together, mutually beneficial, can stay warm alone, straight out of the text. Now, when you look at as the theologians say, while this has a physical application in sharing body heat, the real intent of the writer of Ecclesiastes was also to paint for us the emotional support that comes that when you're together, when you have life to share with somebody else. Yesterday, Sarah and I were out digging through this flower bed, and somebody had put rocks in there over the top of the black, and it had rotted out. So now all the rocks are deep down in the soil, and they've all got to be dug out. And we spent, it was close to 6 hours on Friday night, and then another 8 hours plus yesterday digging through that flower bed. I got to tell you this. I told her this at that point. If I'd have been doing this by myself, which I frequently have been at this time of the year, if I'd have been doing that by myself, I guarantee you I would have quit a long time ago. I would have found the shortcut somewhere to plant those flowers in with the rocks, and I would have given up. But because she was with me, and because I was with her, we kept working, and we kept working, and we kept working. There was this mutual benefit that took place as we fed off of each other out of the emotional support that was taking place there in that midst. Symbiosis. How we can do things mutually together for mutual benefit. Now, the final point out of this text is strength. In verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Don't you love the Bible? You know, if Leo Endel had written that, it would not have been so neat. One, two, three. This building sense here. One may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, most frequently this passage is preached at weddings. How many of you heard this passage at a wedding? A cord of three strands, God's the third strand. I think that's an acceptable application of this passage of Scripture. I don't think that's primarily why it was written for us. When you and I begin to think about the truth here, what God is revealing to us is that literally when we come together, there's an incredible strength that comes with that. This cord of three strands, whether God's the third strand or it's somebody else in the midst, I don't want to argue with that at any sense, but the basic principle is there. When we come together, we get strength. greater strength all the time, the larger and larger we get in our ability to be for each other all that we need to be for each other. I've said for years that it's interesting to me if you go to Walmart or go out to Menards or Home Depot or whatever, it's amazing how many ropes are still made with three basic cords in them. I don't get that. I don't know why that is, and there are exceptions to that rule. But when we look at it just on the face value, there's greater strength when we come together. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I experienced that when I was a kid, when we lived in Fairbanks, Alaska, and maybe it's true some here too. One of the great things to do was to play on the piles of snow that they put together off the parking lots, and we'd play King of the Hill. And we were always eager to get to school early because we were going to try to throw each other off that pile of snow, and we were going to have these great wars. Anybody else do that kind of thing? Yeah. Well, I've discovered that if my brother and I together could get at the top of the hill, put our backs to each other, nobody could throw us off because nobody was smart enough to work together. But just simply by joining together, we had enough strength to keep 10, 12, 13, 14 kids off the top of that hill because we were working together. God's design of the church is exactly the same as that. By drawing us together, when they were together in Acts chapter 2, when they were together, there was something special that happens. Special things happen when you and I work together. God designed His church to be that way. Just like this individual picture here says, now you collectively, if he'd been speaking in southern drawl, it would have been, now you all are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We together are the body of Christ, not separately. God has drawn us together here for a plan and for a purpose, and we find everything supernatural that we need here in the body of Christ because the presence of God is here in the midst of us. He lives in each of us individually, and He's drawn us together for the kingdom to come in our midst. If we work together, we'll see synergy, simpatico, support, symbiosis, and strength. And God will glorify His Son, Jesus Christ, in what is done in us and through us. One of my favorite stories, and if you've been around me at all, you've heard it before, is the story of Hermann Ostry. Where's Gail at? Hermann was from this little town out in Nebraska, and about the time I came to Sioux City, Iowa, years ago, there was a newspaper article that told about this guy that he had a barn over on the corner of his property. And a stream had changed course out across his little farm area, and it was eroding the foundation of the barn. And he couldn't figure out what he could do because he didn't have enough money to build a new barn, and he couldn't figure out any way to deal with it. Now here's Leo Endel thinking about what was going on here at this point. I see him down at the coffee shop because I pastored one of these small towns in Missouri, just like this, drinking coffee with his buddies. And I bet some knucklehead says, well, just pick it up and move it. And I'm sure that five or six people said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. They might not even have commented it was such a dumb idea. But after the fourth or fifth cup of coffee, they got to thinking about it and they decided, well, maybe it's not so bad. Now back to reality. Hermann decides that maybe we can do this. And so he goes across his farm and he finds the new spot where he needs to put his building, and he pours a foundation of concrete over here that's just right for his barn. He comes back over and he jacks up his barn, and that's a lousy picture, but that's an actual picture of the experience. He jacks up his barn on hydraulic jacks. He goes into town and 328 of his friends and people in the community came out to his property. And they literally, as you can see, they picked up the barn side by side and walked it all the way over to the 110 feet away foundation and set it down. What seemed absolutely impossible, they did easily when they did it together. 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 That was God's design all along. For us to be and to work for the kingdom together. Together. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done in our midst in the past and what you're doing here in the present. Father, we read your word and we're amazed by the intricacies of your design for the church. And we're amazed how you want to use us to exalt your Son here in this place. Lord, help us to catch a vision for who you are and what you want us to do, so that we can see the power of your kingdom released in us together. For it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.